Turn, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath." And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. Now we'll read Mark's version of this story. If you would turn over to the Gospel of Mark, please. Just to pick up some of the context, we'll just read in chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, verse 15. They come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. It would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, there's a lot more here in his temple ministry in these two chapters. We'll just come down to verse 28 of chapter 12. Sorry about that. That does make a difference. Chapter 12. Let me just grab verse 17 as we go by. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him." Now verse 28. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Verse 38, "And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now, I would like to press a second charge against our brother Marvin Dirksen of thievery. On Friday night, for those of you who are here, you will know, or you will recall, in his customary eloquent and powerful way, he took up a part of this as part of his message, and I was ready to change my ticket and go home because I had nothing to say at that point, but that was not possible. So if you hear some repeat, I hope you'll take that repeat from the Lord, because this is what I had in my heart when I came here to the conference this weekend. This issue of a woman expressing her devotion. And so I would like to speak to you about your devotion to God. This is not a case now of a woman's devotion. This is not a case of great devotion. This is a case of complete devotion. Think with me, if you will, first of all, in the case of this woman. I want you to think with me a little bit about the circumstances of her devotion. I think that as we have been listening to ministry from our brother Marv about evaluating our lives and having weight, and that God will evaluate us, one of the greatest things we will be evaluated on is our devotion. And so I want to look at this woman, and I would love to be more like this woman. You say, would you like to be poor? I'm not particularly requesting that at the moment. Would you like to be a widower? I'm not particularly requesting that at the moment. Would you like to have the devotion of a woman, this kind of devotion? I would love to have that kind of love. And so look with me, first of all, at the circumstances when it comes to her devotion to God. We have read the two gospel accounts, and it is Luke that tells us, he uses, at least in the version that we have here, that they were offerings to God. This is a woman expressing devotion in her offering to God. Notice with me the circumstances then. The first thing you will notice is that she was living in, and there, she was expressing her devotion in a place where there was great misuse of the things of God. The things of God were being misused. Here you have these men, and they are coming to the synagogue, and they're scanning it out. The chief seat. I'll take that one right there, please. That's the chief seat. That's where I want. This is not about you, sir. And then when they're in the marketplaces, they're looking for people to give the greetings. What about the praise to God? What I want is the praise of me. You see, they're misusing. They're twisting the things of God, and there's great self that is on display. Just the kind of the environment. Just makes you want to love God and be devoted. When the people all around you are all in it for themselves. There was misuse of the things of God. But then I want you to notice that things were mechanical. We just read that these scribes here in the temple, they are putting on long robes. And when they pray, there are long prayers. Why? This is nothing. Chapter 7, is it? The Lord Jesus had already said, you're drawing nigh unto me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. This woman is surrounded now by a religious system that is dry. It is mechanical. Just when everybody around you, maybe you haven't been there. Maybe you get a little sense that people are just kind of going through the meeting motions. And maybe just everybody's just, and you just kind of feel, it just makes you want to love the Lord, doesn't it? Everybody's dry in heart, and everybody's just dusty in spirit, and it just brings out the warmth in you. But then there was also mistreatment going on. These scribes who knew the Bible, supposedly. Dear woman, let me help you here. I want to just do a little financial planning for you. What we'll do here is you take these two little silver coins, and I'll take your house. We'll just devote it to the temple. These were men who, when they left their parents, and their parents were in deep need, and they had something, they said, sorry, Corbin. They called a Corbin. And they just did, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give it to you. You can starve. It's all for God, when really it was for them. You see the tremendous abuse that was going on. There was mistreatment of people in the house of God. And there was mismanagement. We read about how the Lord Jesus had to come in, had to turn the tables over. They had turned the house of God, the house of prayer, into a marketplace. And they were profiting from the things of God. Why, you say, I would just walk in there and I could just feel it. It just would be, it's just kind of like a piece of heaven, wouldn't it be? And it would just draw out the softness and the warmth, and you would just love God more, wouldn't you? I hope I have not described any assembly here. I think I could describe the potential, at least as long as I'm, whatever assembly I'm in, could go that way. What do I learn? In the middle of all that, a woman comes and she casts in all. Offering to God. I learned this lesson that circumstances in the house of God are never an excuse for a lack of devotion in my heart and my life. Brother Dan was telling us about how sometimes people talk badly about the leadership of an assembly, and they're not what they should be. And they're not, I'm not saying they should, they're not what they should be. But would that be an excuse for me to have anything less than complete devotion? And maybe there's even mistreatment of some believers in a local assembly. It has happened on one or two occasions, I think, in the history of time. And as long as I'm in an assembly, I know it will be a possibility. And if I could include you, as long as you're in an assembly, it'll be a possibility. But if that were to take place, would that ever be a reason for our God to deserve anything less than the offering to cast in everything? Now, this could apply to finances if you wish, but I am broadening the application out. Last night, that was a subject for the teenagers and all the old people 20 and over. That was last night. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase. Now broaden it out to devotion just with your life. Learn the principles here. Circumstances that in our life, in our home, in our country, will never justify anything less. Here we have a poor widow woman in some of the most dry religious spiritual conditions, and she casts in all the circumstances. But then I want you to think with me as well quickly about the consideration of this woman. You see, the custom was here in the women's court in the temple, why the people would come in and they would make their offering. And the larger the coin you could find, the better. Because, or the more coins that you could put in at once, because there was a box, and Josephus tells us that there was it was kind of a trumpet cheek, and you took the coins and you dropped them in. How would you drop them in? Kind of slip them in so nobody knows, left hand not knowing the right hand's doing. No, you dropped them in to get the maximum amplification of sound. Make heads turn with the size and the number of coins that are dropping into the box. Along comes a poor widow woman. Was there hardly even a clink clink? Two thin little copper coins just could slip right in there, and the little woman, I don't know why I always think she's little. Maybe she was huge. Who knows? The little woman, the big woman, whatever she is, she comes by the temple box. And off she goes. Nobody will consider that. Could I just tell you, remind you what happened in the story? Put the two gospels together. The first thing that happened was heaven stopped. And all the busyness there in the temple ministry and all that's going on, the Bible says the Lord sat down. This is worthy of divine consideration. And then the Bible says that the Lord Jesus looked up. I have wondered, was he looking down? He wasn't looking at all. He looked up. It's kind of a strange expression, isn't it? He looked up. If you look at the uses of that expression, you'll find that it's used quite often to describe people who are blind and they received their sight. They looked up. Well, that's not the Lord Jesus, but what, it's the idea that somebody comes into 20/20 vision. Wasn't that he had anything less than that? When it's used of the Lord Jesus, every other time, it's used of the Lord Jesus looking up when he prays. You see, this is now he's stopping. This is worthy of all heaven's consideration. We're going to bring down now heaven's viewpoint on what is real devotion. And then what the Bible says, it says in Mark's gospel, that he beheld. It's almost as if it's slow motion. He's noticing every detail of this woman as she comes along, and the very every detail of her devotion to God. And then you go to Luke's gospel and you get a different word. It says that he saw. That's a different word. That's more the idea of discerning it. Not just observing it like a spectator. Now this is discerning, understanding. This is deeper. I learned something here about the Lord Jesus and his consideration of our devotion. Look at the comprehension. He says, I know everything about you, woman. First of all, I know all about your suppression. You're a woman. Sorry, folks. Sorry, ladies. If the rabbi who is so often quoted and reported was true, giving the spirit of the times, every man getting up in the morning and praying, I thank God that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. They're oppressed. Can oppressed women be devoted to God? Hopefully there's no women that feel that way here. But then he says, I also understand that you're a widow. You have heartbreak. You have sorrow. You have loneliness. And you have no support. There was no social security. And that's why in Acts chapter 6, the local church had to provide for the widows. There was no system to take care of them all. You have no support. You have no say because you're suppressed. And not only that, you have no source, no supply. The Bible uses there three different words in Luke's gospel to describe her poverty. Here's what I understand. Here's the little lesson. You and I don't need to make any excuses for a lack of devotion. He knows everything about our lives. Isn't that where we started the conference? A God of knowledge. The Lord God. He has knowledge. He understands. He understands what we don't have. He understands our feelings. He understands all of that. And it's all factored in. No excuses. But he does understand. There's the perfect balance here. In the circumstances which are never an excuse, and yet the things that we face that are our limitations, our struggles, he knows it all. And it all just magnifies the devotion of this woman. But I want you to think with me as well about the cause of this woman's devotion. Come with me now. We're going to go to the temple. And we walk in and we have to go to the area, the court of the women. That's because the women weren't allowed to go to the other parts. And so we go in there too. The men could go into the women, this court of the women. And we go in and according to Josephus, there are 13 boxes around there. Don't want to miss a penny was the idea, I think. 13 boxes and according to Josephus, 9 of those boxes were marked. They were tagged offerings to God. 4 of the boxes are marked offerings for the poor. Now, just suppose for a moment that's the case. The Lord Jesus sits down. He's beholding everybody coming now, and all the people with the big pockets are coming, and they're emptying their pockets out. And along comes the little widow woman, and she comes along. She's got two little coins. That's all her livelihood. That's the word. She just has these two little silver coins. Copper coins. What's she going to do with them? If she was the little old man, she'd go put them over there in the poor box. You know why? Possibilities of kickback. She's a poor widow. Get it? Poor widow. Poor. Anybody ever have any of that problem where you go and you give something to God and you're kind of hoping? That's not devotion of any kind. Here's a woman who comes in. I wonder if she took both coins. Offerings to God. In they go. All I have nothing more I can give. All that I am and I have, offering to God. Is that the way it went? What's the context when the gospel writers put it in both gospels? Remember, they came and they talked to him about taxes. He said, well, get me a coin. Whose image is that? Why, that's Caesar. He said, whatever you render to Caesar, the things that... What does that mean? Whatever you owe to Caesar, or his American nephew, Uncle Sam, whatever you owe, just give him what you owe. Don't give him any more, please. And whatever you owe to God, don't give him any less either. Give him what he owes. And I ask you, as I ask my own heart as well, at the Jackson Conference in 2015, are you prepared to give God what he owes, what you owe him? To go to God and give him what does he deserve? What does he demand? What should we give to him? Did she go in and she said, all for God? Here it is. The other part of the context is also interesting. This might give us another idea. What does it say? Scribe comes along and he says to the Lord, well, you're doing well there. You're doing well. I like the answer you gave. Let me ask you another question. Which is the first commandment? Know the answer? Love the Lord your God. I wonder if just at that point the Savior turned and looked at the 9 boxes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. I don't know. And then did he look at the 4 boxes and say, and the second is the same, love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible doesn't tell us. Did the woman come in? I just ask you. Did she come in and drop one there and one there? She was not loving God with all her heart. If I ever get a hold of that brother, I'll fix him good. All for God. I love God. Oh, I love the Lord. I would never hate my brother, but sometimes people get what they deserve, you know, when something bad happens to them. Or we need to love each other. A loving people we all need to have. Collective assembly group hugs on a regular occasion. We love each other. and we don't obey God. Who are we kidding? I don't know. Maybe the Bible left it just plain. A woman comes in and she takes to all for God. There is no disparity in true devotion. I cannot love God more than I love my neighbor, and I cannot love it. Is there any disparity in you and I today between our love for God and our love for our neighbor? Like our assembly neighbor, like the one who sits in the pew behind you. Are these pews? Chairs, seats, benches, whatever these are. Is there a difference? You see, true devotion now. True devotion when it comes right down to it. The cause of it all. I love God so much, He deserves all. And I want to love God and I want to love my neighbor. Do you get the balance? True devotion then is giving all to God, but yet at the same time I have to realize I cannot fool myself. If I am mistreating other believers, perish the thought of an unbeliever. I cannot rise higher in my devotion to God than my treatment of my fellow man. You only need to see this all perfectly in balance in the fullest proportions in the life of the Lord Jesus. Did any man ever love God more than Him? Did any man love his neighbor more than our Savior? You see the perfect balance. The cause of her devotion to God. What makes a person give themselves and just surrender all to God? What does that? Well, what does it is a, like if the preacher just had the right strategy. If we just had, you know, you ever have one of those music moving moments where you're listening to something and it touches you? There's only one thing that'll bring about full devotion to God. And that is loving Him so much, a greater love for Him. The response will be a devoted giving to God. Anything less than love will never produce true devotion. So I can't take my brethren here in the front row and harass them and watch them and motivate them. It'll never happen. They'll never be devoted brothers. And they could do whatever they want with me. It'll never happen. It has to be something that is drawn out from the heart. Can you see the woman coming in? Woman, why would you give up your livelihood? You have no guarantee of food for tomorrow, and you're giving it all to God. Why? Because I love God. Sometimes the lack of expressed devotion to God in a believer's life is simply the reflection, the pure reflection of a lack of love. But I want you to think with me now, quickly, as I close, I want you to think with me about the conditioning of giving ourselves to God, our condition of devotion. Sometimes we put limits on it. Last night, after speaking a little bit to the teenagers about giving and financial things, money management, I got a very excellent question. The question was, what happens if when you give your offering on Sunday in the offering of the assembly, what happens if you are not happy with how that money is being spent? I thought that was a good question. And I said, see Marvin Dirksen. No, I didn't. Good question. I think this passage helps me greatly. What is one of the next uses of money from the temple? 30 pieces of silver. Do you think this woman would be happy with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus? I highly doubt it. Here's the lesson. While we give wisely, we are not responsible for how what we give to God is used. So, I give to this couple so that they can buy new tires for their car because they're not going very far on those tires. And instead of tires, they bought tickets to the local circus. Well, I'm not giving them anything anymore. Probably the better thing would be for the next time for me to just buy the tires. But am I responsible? Is that a bad devotion? Our responsibility is to give to God. Now we give wisely, but we don't condition it. That I'll give it, even condition it within our hearts, that I'm going to